and keep America free.
What in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first. And on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
In this day of economic uncertainty and soaring unemployment, safe investments are often hard to find. But investing in the precious metals is the safest investment of all, because gold and silver is real money. Government-printed currency is not. Call Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company at 1-800-375-4188. Melody has been helping people secure their financial future for over 10 years. While others in the business claim honesty, Melody will deliver. Give her a call, 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Welcome back to the broadcast, and hopefully we're on WBCQ as well, 7.415. Dealing with the directions our country's turned and the UN system mandates, and we're in the Water for Food and Ecosystems of the FAO Netherlands International Conference going on right now, January 31st to February 4th, 2005, right this very minute. It's going on right now. They talk about international commitments related to water for food and ecosystems to bring the international community has subscribed in past global conferences, summits, and conventions. We'll keep in mind, Melody Cederstrom supports this broadcast, and I appreciate the commercial coming up. Most important to do that, as it's a very competitive market. Oh, boy. And she's really under the gun, and not at liberty to talk about it, but support her in her directions, and you will be supporting me in my directions. 800-375-4188, 800-375-4188. A complete overview of international commitments related to water for food and ecosystems to which the international community has subscribed in past global conferences, summits, and conventions. It's all in here, Water for Food and Ecosystems. And we're going to have to get this up on the website tonight as well. Hopefully I'll be able to do that and impose on Darren to do so. He's extremely busy. They talk about the World Food Summit, where in 1996, 180 nations met at FAO headquarters for the World Food Summit. I'm sure Joan Vion was there, listeners, to discuss ways to end hunger. Ways to end hunger. How can you fault this? And that's why I keep stating over and over and over again that we have to get to the bottom of weather modification, and how is that going to be done when you have the controlled press telling you what you can and can't say in that arena? They keep us in the dark about weather modification and the ability to steer hurricanes and tornadoes, to cause earthquakes, to make droughts happen. When you have droughts, you lose the ability to produce food. Bottom line. So, once again, this World Food Summit from what was in 1996. Nations pledged to eradicate hunger and committed themselves to a basic target, reducing the number of undernourished people by half by 2015. The conclusions of that summit are summarized in two documents, the Rome Declaration on World Food Security and the World Food Summit Plan of Action. Lots going on there. Then you have the World Water Forum number 2, Roman numeral 2, which serves to raise water on the political agenda, deepen discussions towards the solution of international water issues in the 21st century, formulate concrete proposals, and bring their importance to the world's attention at the first World Water Forum held in Marrakesh in 1997. The World Water Council was mandated to develop a World Water Vision aimed at strengthening commitment to a water-secure future. Developed by the World Commission on Water, it was presented at the World Water Forum 2 at The Hague in the year 2000. You see how if you don't have the ability to control the weather, you don't have any validity of any of these organizations coming together. You see, if you don't live in the Hegelian dialectic to understand the Hegelian dialectic of the same groups causing the problems, then causing the opposition to the problem, then coming in with a solution, all coming from the same source, then you don't know what the Hegelian dialectic is, and it's your responsibility to learn the Hegelian dialectic. The best individual to explain the Hegelian dialectic is Nikki Rapana from the Anti-Communitarian League, which is the number one partner website on AmericanExpose.com. That's where you learn about the Hegelian dialectic. Another conference was the Millennium Development Goals. Commit the international community to vigorously promote human development as the key to sustaining social and economic progress, and have been commonly accepted as a framework for measuring development progress. The member states of the United Nations unanimously adopted the Millennium Declaration in September of 2000 and later recognized the MDGs as part of the roadmap for implementing the Millennium Declaration. MDGs relevant to water for food and ecosystems. That's what they say, MDGs, relevant to water for food and ecosystems. MDG 1, quote, to have by the year 2015 the proportion of the world's people who suffer from hunger, end quote. MDG 7, quote, integrate the principles of sustainable development into country policies and programs, reverse the loss of environmental resources, end quote. And from this site, you can learn the Millennium Declaration, the Millennium Development Goals from the UN, and the Millennium Development Goals from the World Bank. Then you go to the World Summit on Sustainable Development, held in Johannesburg, September 2002. I was off the air at the time, but I studied it a little bit, to the point where I said, boy, it's too bad I'm not on the air because nobody's talking about it on the air. And I don't think I was wrong when I said that way back in September of 2002. Once again, held in Johannesburg, South Africa. In September 2002, the World Summit on Sustainable Development addressed the slow rate of progress in implementing the goals set by the UN World Summit of 1992. That's the Rio Summit and Agenda 21 and the Biodiversity Assessment. As an implementation-focused summit, Johannesburg established important new targets, such as halving the proportion of people without access to basic sanitation by 2015 and achieving by 2010 a significant reduction in the loss of biological diversity. Water-related recommendations, and there's plenty of them here, and I don't need to get into that. Then you have the Convention on Biological Diversity, one of the key agreements adopted at 1992 Earth Summit was the Convention on Biological Diversity, a pact among the vast majority of the world's governments that sets out commitments for maintaining the planet's ecological underpinnings while continuing economic development. There's more to that. Then the Ramsar Convention on Wetlands, they talk about that here, is an intergovernmental treaty that provides the framework for national action and international cooperation for the conservation and wise use of wetlands and their resources. It was adopted in the city of Ramsar, Iran, in 1971 and came into force in 1975. It is the only global environmental treaty that deals with wetland ecosystems. The convention's member countries cover all the world's geographic regions, in other words, everywhere, Activities related to water for food and ecosystems include? No, no, no. Take it easy, Charlie. Go on. Somebody's out there shooting off a gun, and the dogs go crazy when that happens. And I hope he's using his firearm responsibly and not doing something stupid, as people tend to do that, which tends to get other people to want to regulate firearms more. And that's the trouble. You have ignorant people everywhere, including here where I am, that go and carelessly do stupid things like what just happened tonight, firing off rounds of their firearm. The only trouble is, depending on where it's aimed, the bullet has to come down. Sometimes it is a tragic loss of someone when it comes down. Once again, being that someone just fired off a bunch of rounds outside, I hope that he was being responsible in where that was being aimed. Because we don't need more people wanting to instigate gun control. Because once gun control comes into place, totalitarian gun control, that is, it's all over. You won't have any say in anything. You'll get Agenda 21 crammed down your throat. You'll get your water wells metered on a constant basis, and you won't have any say in it. You have to pay for the water that comes out of the ground. So, bear with me with the dogs here. The last one from the Water for Food and Ecosystems is the Third World Water Forum, held in Japan in March 2003, was attended by some 10,000 representatives of governments, international organizations, and NGOs. And at the conclusion of the forum, ministers of heads of delegation assembled in Kyoto issued a declaration affirming that water is a driving force for sustainable development, including environmental integrity and the eradication of poverty and hunger. And that's the point. Are we going to ever get to the bottom of HARP, weather modification, and environmental modification? And if you create the problem, then you have a justification for these summits, these UN summits, things such as this. Sad commentary to have with all that's going on. Now you have the International Fund for Agricultural Development, it's IFAD.org, that's IFAD.org, International Fund for Agriculture and Development. How many have heard of that before? I'm not ashamed to admit I've never heard of it before until tonight. Enabling the rural poor to overcome poverty. Well, the point is, how did it happen? How did it come about? And once again, here we go. Once again, weather modification, environmental modification. How is this brought about? How are people made to be poor? If it doesn't rain, you don't have the ability to grow. The International Fund for Agriculture and Development, IFAD, IFAD, a specialized agency of the United Nations, was established as an international financial institution in 1977 as one of the major outcomes of the 1974 World Food Conference. The conference was organized in response to the food crisis of the early 1970s. Keep in mind, whether that primarily affected the Sahelian countries of Africa. Keep in mind, weather modification has been going on for years. 1977, 1970s, weather modification was used during the Vietnam War. The Weather Channel even chronicled it. Nikola Tesla had something to do with creating this ability. Nikola Tesla was a good man. Nikola Tesla was destroyed. Nobody hears about Nikola Tesla anymore. Nobody probably heard about Nikola Tesla way back when. He was still alive. The conference resolved that, quote, an international fund for agriculture development should be established immediately to finance agricultural development projects, primarily for food production in the developing countries, end quote. One of the most important insights emerging from the conference was that the causes of food insecurity and famine were not so much failures in food production, but structural problems relating to poverty and to the fact that the majority of the developing world's poor populations were concentrated in rural areas. Interesting. They don't make it rain, you know, if they make droughts happen, food won't grow. If the weather's being messed with, and it is being messed with, it has been messed with, you have no control over what's going to grow. So in this context, IFAD, which is the International Fund for Agriculture and Development, was created to mobilize resources on consensual terms for programs that alleviate rural poverty and improve nutrition. We'll cover this more, and we'll get it up on the website at this stage. I'll just send it on to my partner, because we'll just do it right now, get it done, and get it up there as soon as possible for you to peruse this information yourself. And that's the best way to work together. I've always been wanting to work together to help save our constitutional republic. See, if we save our constitutional republic, other countries can have their own constitutional republic. And it doesn't have to be under the guise of the UN system either. It doesn't have to be a totalitarian mess that we're involved in. We'll have to get this up there too. Because certainly you'd like to know about the United Nations University, Advancing Knowledge for Human Security and Development. United Nations University. I've heard of them before. I don't know whether you've heard of them before or not. I think they're in New York. We'll find out as I wait for this to come up. It's most important to realize that as you learn about this that's going on, you'll learn that you have to get other people on board to understand what's happening. Those that have the families, those that have the children, and you have the grandchildren, you all have to work in trying to make a change and stop this Titanic called the UN system. There's just no doubt in my mind that things will continue to be worse and worse and worse. Korea, Vietnam, Middle East mess now. You know, I mean, gee, listeners, where does it stop? When's it going to stop? What is the mission of the United Nations University? Quote, to contribute through research and capacity building to efforts to resolve the pressing global problems that are the concern of the United Nations, its peoples, and member states, end quote. And then they say, see the UN University Charter. They have their own university charter. Well, four key roles are included in this. An international community of scholars. Oh boy, just what we need, an international community of scholars. We have enough scientists telling us about the Kyoto Protocol and how we have to fall into that. Keep in mind, the whole direction of the Kyoto Protocol and the UN system is to completely destroy the industrial base of society around the world. They want to bring this entire planet back to pre-Columbus times. They want to destroy everything that we've developed for ourselves, our ancestors developed for us, the progress that was ever put into place. They want to eliminate the automobile and anything that runs on a motor with gasoline. And some people sit back and think, well, gee, that's just a great idea. If a perfect example of those people are the ones that are so wound up with their bicycles. They breathe and live to ride their bicycles. Mountain bikes, same way. Off-road mountain biking. People just love that. And it's their passion. Well, that's fine. But, you know, if all we're ever going to do is ride bicycles, we're never going to be able to enjoy the things that we can still enjoy today. It'll be a sorry time in history when that comes. Because if they destroy the industrial base of society, you won't have the metal to build the frames for the bicycles or the components that go on the bicycles. So you have a 21-speed transmission. So you won't constantly get flat tires. Things like this. In other words, if the industrial base disappears, the production of bicycles will slack off. The price of bicycles will rise. Are you getting my point? I hope so. So the four key roles of the United Nations University is an international community of scholars, a bridge between the United Nations and the international academic community, a think tank for the United Nations system, a builder of capacities, particularly in developing countries. Oh, yes, developing countries, always the point. Agenda 21 always addresses developing countries. Take from the rich, give to the poor. But what made us rich to begin with? And really, when you try and document where we're going and where it's come from, there's no need to start any later than 1913 in the passage of the Federal Reserve Act. That's where you have to start. If you want to educate others, that's where it has to start. What happened right after that? 1914, World War One. After World War One, League of Nations. No one wanted to go into the League of Nations because they knew what it was all about. It was a global governance system. So what happened after that? Formation of the Council on Foreign Relations, in which John W. Davis, one of the founders of the Council on Foreign Relations, is purported to be the grandfather of Nancy Davis, who changed her name to Nancy Reagan when she married Ronald Reagan. That's the Council on Foreign Relations, formed in 1941 officially. It was never told to anyone about the Council on Foreign Relations. Even in the 1950s, we didn't even know about the Council on Foreign Relations. Even in the 1960s, we didn't even know about the Council on Foreign Relations, except a handful of people that tried to get the word out about the Council on Foreign Relations, which wants to implement a global governance system. And there were 20-some members of the Council on Foreign Relations that formed the United Nations after the two atomic bomb droppings on Hiroshima and Nagasaki during the closing of the Second World War, which never had to happen. We're inundated with the History Channel telling us that there were 25 million Japanese ready to defend their homeland. We're inundated with that on the History Channel. That is ridiculous. We've been bombing Japan for months with B-29s. Japan had lost its industrial base. They had certain places underground that were still working, evidently. And they had a jet program, just like Nazi Germany did, just like we did, just like England did. And who are the good guys and who are the bad guys during the Second World War? Well, Germany and Japan signed a pact in 1936 mandating that they don't want the Communist International to mess with their country. It was called, once again, for those that are familiar with this, bear with me, German-Japanese Agreement and Supplementary Protocol, signed at Berlin, November 25, 1936. Agreement guarding against the Communistic International, the Imperial Government of Japan and the Government of Germany, in cognizance of the fact that the object of the Communist International, the so-called Comintern, is the disintegration of and the commission of violence against existing states by the exercise of all means at its command. Believing that the toleration of interference by the Communistic International in the internal affairs of nations not only endangers their internal peace and social welfare, but threatens the general peace of the world. And that's what they did, Germany and Japan, back in 1936. What are we living with today, people? Communistic International. War for national liberation. The worldwide communist movement is showing its fangs in the United Nations system. What's going on right this minute is a result of what Japan and Germany tried to stop in their own way back on November 25th, 1936. This information comes from the Avalon Project at Yale Law School. It's entitled The Anti-Comintern Pact. In other words, we were the wrong side during the Second World War. Siding with the Soviet Union, communism, infiltrated into the Franklin Delano Roosevelt administration. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a closet communist. Eleanor Roosevelt, a closet communist. The author of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Eleanor Roosevelt. The 50th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was in December 10, 1998. President Clinton signed Executive Order Number 13107, Implementation of Human Rights Treaties. Henceforth, all government agencies had to follow the UN line on human rights. And that's what we live today. So what is the United Nations University? A communist directed organization. They won't tell you that. Just like communism is dead in America today, they say. Hogwash. Communitarianism in America today is reinvented communism. Communitarian Network. There's a website to the Communitarian Network in Washington, D.C. You can learn about communitarianism on your own. Hillary Rodham Clinton is a devout communitarian. Hillary Rodham Clinton wants to be President of the United States in 4 years. Billy Bob Clinton wants to be Secretary General of the United Nations system. And if he's the Rockefeller I think he is, he's probably going to get it. Could you see in 2008 Hillary Rodham Clinton being President of the United States of America and Bill Clinton being Secretary General of the United Nations system? I can. President Clinton, or Bill Clinton, is a gifted man as far as his ability to get anywhere. Listen, with all the shenanigans he put forth during 8 years of his administration, and he's still around, this man, he has clout following him. He's got to be a Rockefeller. Got to be. Boy, he's been busy. Dennis the Menace, that is. The Kiel Guide to Environmental Issues on the Internet from the School of Politics, International Relations, and the Environment, Kiel University. Oh, boy. My gosh. You know, I'm learning things tonight I never anticipated. That's the way it is, though, when you work together with the right people. Thanks for your help.
Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Who performed the first organ transplant? Find out on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
Of all the creatures that walk, crawl, creep, or grow on Earth, which one invented the organ transplant? I'll give you one hint. It wasn't a human being. Actually, several creatures perform organ transplants, and the inventor must be God, because mindless natural forces could never have worked out the amazing transplants we see in our world. Sea slugs feed mainly on sea anemones. Sea anemones have stinging cells, which, upon the slightest touch, explode, sending a poisonous dart into the intruder. None of this seems to faze the sea slug, who will tear up the anemone and eat it without exploding even one of the stinging cells. The stinging cells do not even explode in the slug's stomach, nor, amazingly, are they digested. The sea slug's stomach has narrow channels. These channels have moving hairs, which sweep the stinging cells out of the stomach, up the channels, and to the pouches, where they are arranged and stored so that the sea slug can use them for his own defense. Should a fish try to nip the sea slug, he would be stung by the very stinging cells which had once protected the anemone. Science tells us that things must have causes. It is hardly scientific to credit an organ transplant, which is more complex and elegant than anything we could devise, to blind natural principles. The Bible has a better and more logical answer.
To get a complete set of transcripts from Creation Moments programs, ask about the book Letting God Create Your Day when you visit us online at creationmoments.com. Join us again for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
Record budget deficits, bankruptcies galore, and the U.S. dollar is at an all-time low. With today's gloomy economic outlook, safe investments are often hard to find. For over a decade, Melody Cedarstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company has been helping people secure their future by investing in the precious metals. Melody has the honesty, integrity, and experience that is often lacking in the precious metals business. Let her put it to work for you. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Back to the broadcast, the School of Politics, International Relations, and the Environment, Keele University. We'll get it up on the website. There's plenty here, people. Treaties and conventions, journals and news, research centers. Oh my gosh! Links and resources. Oh my gosh! Groups and causes. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. It's monumental. Good research, Dennis. I'm impressed to no end. I've already sent it off to Darren. Certainly the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations. That's up on the website right now. And it's very prominent right now because of what's going on right this very, very minute at the UN system. And it's most important to keep that in mind. Then you have the Worldwide Sustainability Resource Encyclopedia. citypioneers.com. New thinking, innovation, and peer support at a time of emerging crisis. Hegelian dialectic emerging crisis, listeners. try as hard as we may to do our job, the commons offers, but one current of a much broader ongoing tide of awareness, observation, thought, collaboration, and action on the issues of technology, society, and sustainable mobility and development. Happily, since there is so much to be done and so much inertia and resistance out there to these concepts of individual and collective, what you have here below is our latest collection of primarily international sources which provide useful points of departure and information on these issues. Most of these provide useful references and links in their turn. Oh, man, alive. How can you do this to me, Dennis? You cannot believe what is here. Well, here's one right here. Center for Sustainable Transport. The Center for Sustainable Transportation was founded to provide leadership in achieving sustainable transportation in Canada. And here's the China Sustainable Energy Program out of China. I hope I'm making a point tonight that you listeners, every single one of you, because there aren't too many, have to get involved in what's going on. There is so much here, I just cannot believe it. Oh, man. I almost feel like I did on May 1st of 2002. Again, all over again. Here's the Global Footprint USA supports a sustainable economy by promoting the ecological footprint, a tool that makes sustainability measurable. We coordinate research and develop methodological standards so that decision makers have robust resource accounts to ensure that we live within the Earth's budget. We live within the Earth's budget. So in other words, all industrialization has to be demolished. That's the goal of all this. Ultimately, that is the goal. To enslave the world back to the Stone Age. That's what this is all about, listeners. That's where it's going. Wow. Well, anyway, what am I going to do with this? I'm going to send it off to Darren. We're going to get it up on the website right this minute so we don't have any confusion down the road. It is just monumental. The website AmericanExpose.com is growing rapidly. It all interconnects to Agenda 21, unfortunately, making a statement in purpose of what everyone needs to do. Educate themselves and others about Agenda 21. You talk to people out here where I am, no one's heard of Agenda 21. You talk to people wherever you are, no one's heard about Agenda 21. President's Council, the President's the President's State of the Union address last night was addressing Agenda 21 in its entirety. He just never said so. And I pretty well chronicled it last night. The point is that it's the best kept secret in the world on purpose. Because people don't want to have to change and go back to the Stone Age. Why would we? Why would we want to do that? Well, I'll tell you, I was thinking a couple of days ago, what happened to Dennis? What has he been doing? He's covered all the bases tonight, and I barely started with what he sent. Barely started. Dated January 27th, 2005, listeners. The Conference on Disarmament opens first part of 2005 session. UN Secretary General says disarmament is crucial for conflict prevention, peace building, and realizing the Millennium Goals. The Conference on Disarmament this morning, January 27, 2005, held the first plenary of the first part of its 2005 session and heard the message of United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan, which was delivered by the Undersecretary General Sergei Ordshchenkidze, the Secretary General of the Conference on Disarmament and the Director General of the United Nations Office in Geneva. In his message, the Secretary General said the Conference on Disarmament opened its current session with renewed hopes of overcoming the impasse that had impeded its work for so long. He noted that disarmament was crucial for conflict prevention, peace building, and the realization of the Millennium Development Goals. Disarmament matters also figured prominently in the report of the high-level panel on threats, challenges, and change, and would be a major part of discussions among member states in the months ahead leading up to September summit-level review of the Millennium Declaration. He called upon the members of the conference to seriously consider the panel's recommendations. I hope you people listening on WBCQ understand the importance of this hour, and I hope you support Melody Cederstrom and her endeavors in supporting this broadcast. Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 800-375-4188 is the number, 800-375-4188. Yow. The president of the conference, Ambassador Chris Sanders of the Netherlands, stressed that if the present problems persisted, the conference might well lose its relevance and follow in the footsteps of the United Nations Disarmament Commission. He wanted the member states to think about those interests would be damaged if this were to happen. He said that he would make his ultimate efforts to get the conference back to real work and would try to see if there was any chance of overcoming existing difficulties in the interest of those who felt that the Conference on Disarmament was of interest to their security. What is going to happen out of this if we don't play along with it? A major school shooting will happen. A major something will happen where people will commit suicide after they shoot a bunch of other people up to promote gun control in America. On behalf of the conference, the president expressed his condolences to the governments of peoples affected by the earthquake and tsunami in the Indian Ocean on 26 December. At his request, the conference observed a minute of silence in memory of the victims of the catastrophe. Sri Lanka, India, and Indonesia thank the conference for the condolences addressed to their countries, for the solidarity expressed by the international community to help the victims. The international community is the UN system, listeners. The Russian Federation in Kenya took the floor this morning to speak about landmines. Oh, man. And Peru and France spoke about the 2005 session of the conference. Certainly landmines are a bad deal. Landmines are terrible. Wars are terrible, but there's been more wars and catastrophes and terrible conflicts since the inception of the UN system, starting in 1945, in any time in human history. More wars than any time in history. Once again, the Russian Federation and Kenya took the floor this morning to speak about landmines, and Peru and France spoke about the 2005 session of the conference. Poland and Germany addressed the issue of the 60th anniversary of the liberation of the Nazi death camps. Were there really 6 million killed in the Nazi death camps, or was it 600,000? History is written by the winners of wars, people. History is written by the winners of wars. Vital information sent to me by one individual, Dennis the Menace. I've done my whole broadcast with his information. A spontaneous broadcast, which is always the case with this, with what I do. I rarely ever plan what I do because there's so much going on, so much happening, so much relevance to what's going on that's not being covered by the major press on purpose. He sent me the International Earth Charter Commission and Steering Committee. We learn about this tonight or in future nights. You have all the different players in this International Earth Charter Commission. People from India. The co-chairs come from India, Russia, Argentina, Canada, and Malai. Sri Lanka, Jordan, Brazil, France, Canada, Japan. And there's Tim Hoyt from the United States of America. Then there's Ecuador, the Netherlands, Kenya, Canada, Spain, Guyana, Greenland. Stephen Rockefeller is one of the chairs from the United States of America. Stephen Rockefeller might be related to Bill Clinton, for all I know. Also, someone representing Algeria, someone representing the Netherlands, someone representing New Zealand, / Aotearoa, or Aotearoa. It's Aotearoa. Is that the new word for New Zealand? I'm not sure. The International Earth Charter Commission and Steering Committee. We'll get it up on the site. We have the Earth Charter on the site right now. This should complement that. Here you have the Wallace Global Fund. The Wallace Global Fund for a sustainable future. Their mission is to promote an informed and engaged citizenry to fight injustice and to protect the diversity of nature and the national system upon which all life depends. See, this is why I got so upset with my friend Jack about the Richards, or the, I forgot his name. Let me see if I can find it. Because I got so upset with Jack because he's a believer in sustainable development now. And it's ridiculous to think this when you know the big picture in place. Because it's UN totalitarian control about everything you do and can do. It's the David Suzuki Foundation. Climate change, science, all his information about sustainable development in there. And what does Jack tell me? Please study this one carefully. And I had a conversation with him. We haven't talked since. Because I got so upset with him about what this David Suzuki Foundation is talking about. Well, apparently it's no different than the Wallace Global Fund. Because what they want to do is deindustrialize the world. Industrialization is not a bad thing. Conveniences are not a bad thing. This planet is not overpopulated like what Frosty Woolworth says, or Frosty Wooldridge, who's a proponent of illegal immigration and stopping that, which you'll never do unless you stop the UN system. How do you stop the UN system when the Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. Governor of the IMF? And the alternate is Alan Greenspan of the Federal Reserve. And every country has a governor of the IMF that's a member of the UN. That's why many, many people have to get on board to understand. The objectives of the Wallace Global Fund, apparently, is effective protection of the environment and natural resources and their capacity to provide for human needs. Oh, really? Progressive public policies that serve the common good, protect civil liberties, and guard against corporate abuses. Sustainable levels of human populations. See? They want to reduce the population, people. And equal justice. Their strategies. The fund seeks to further its mission generally through fundamental public policy and systematic change. Specific strategies for influencing policy include empowering affected communities and people to exert grassroots pressure and encourage civic participation. Accountability and watchdog mechanisms directed at both public and private institutions. Litigation and systematic impact. It goes on and on and on. The Wallace Global Fund will stick on the site. I just can't believe all the work Dennis has done to help our country tonight. He should be proud of his work. You know? I just look at what's happened in the past. And this examination of U.S. policy towards POWs, MIAs, is something everyone should read. It should be in the classroom. It should teach you about the Federal Reserve System, the UN system, and everything that goes along with it. Because that's where it came from. That's where the loss of life comes from. That's where the loss of lives come from right this very minute in the Middle East mess. And that's the bottom line, people. If individuals don't get involved, they deserve what they get. I don't want to play that game. I came back because I was invited back on the air. It looks like the opportunity to form my own network might happen. I don't want to do it. For our country, I will. Doors to Democracy. Current trends and practices in public participation in environmental decision-making in Central and Eastern Europe. Doors to Democracy. It's big. Oh, so big. It's going on the website. Incredible stuff. Doors to Democracy, listeners. What is democracy? It's the code word for socialism, communism. Here you have environmental research and teaching at the University of Toronto. See, you're caught in this trap any way you look at it if you're a young person. You join the military so you can get a college education because you can't afford a college education otherwise. If you're fortunate enough to get out with your life out of the military, you go to college and you go to some place like the University of Toronto. And you learn about environmental research and teaching. And you learn about the Central European Environmental Data Request Facility. You learn about the Commission for Environmental Cooperation, the Conservation International, the Global Legislators Organization for a Balanced Environment, GLOBE. Is that another globe? Or is that the same globe? I'll have to find out after the show. Global Warming International Center, Greenpeace, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Can you believe all this? Learn about the World Bank, the United Nations Environment Program. The environmental research and training at the University of Toronto. Absolutely amazing stuff. There is never a time in human history more vital to get talk show hosts on the right page of the implementation of what's going on. And it's everyone's responsibility, especially you that have families. I am just so appalled at the ignorance of the American people, especially after the history of the 20th century, to learn by as we go into the 21st century. That is why it is so crucial to understand HARP, environmental modification, weather modification. because these quote-unquote natural disasters, most of them more than likely are being created to bring about UN totalitarian control. That's certainly my feeling. And for people in the past, talk show hosts in the past, stating that the United Nations is a it's a useless think tank. He's never gone to the State Department's website to see what's going on in America. And that is just amazing. Build up logistics from the UN News Center. Build up logistics. Cooperation with private sector before next tsunami strikes is dated January 28, 2005. In other words, there's going to be another tsunami, another tidal wave. Will it be set off by a nuclear device at the bottom of the ocean to make it happen? That is the concern that I have. The creation of the problem to bring about the result could very well be a reality. From Environment News Service, from Gland, Switzerland, February 2nd, 2005. World Wetlands Day, celebrated on February 2nd each year, marks the date of the signing of the Convention on Wetlands on February 2nd, 1971, in the Iranian city of Ramsar, on the shores of the Caspian Sea. This year is the beginning of a 10-year cycle, an international decade of water, that will be launched on World Water Day, March 23rd. That is a mouthful and a half. That says a lot. Did anybody know the World Wetlands Day is celebrated on February 2nd each year? Be honest now, and I'll be honest, I did not know that, which marked the signing of the Convention on Wetlands on February 2nd, 1971. Can you believe it? Here we see Research Triangle Park, North Carolina, February 2nd, 2005. For the first time, the federal government has added viruses to the official list of agents that are known to cause cancer. Hepatitis B virus, hepatitis C virus, and the same human pathogens that cause common sexually transmitted diseases are listed in the new biennial report on carcinogens issued Monday by the Department of Health and Human Services. So much going on, people. Here we see from Portland, Oregon. Judge rules wolves still endangered. The Bush administration's move to ease federal protection. Oh, well, the gray wolf was deemed illegal by a federal judge. What else is new? Listen Monday night to Melody Cedarstrom on my first hour and Darren Weeks on the second first hour. I hope tomorrow night that they play in this time slot Sam and Trish's deliberation on Monday night on the meter.